Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 133, episode 5 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. I say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and fuck Fox News.
Fair enough.
It's Friday, May 15th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Dun, 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 dun. When the dew's on the shelf, drop it in the car, drop it in the car, drop it in the car.
Oh no.
That is courtesy of Benny Young. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Running, 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 running. Can't keep 6 feet away. Can't keep 6 feet away. Thank you to that for that run in Farside, and also Jay Dilla by extension, aka by at Matt Dick though. Appreciate it, because after looking at some of that footage from Wisconsin, seems like a lot of people don't even know what 1 foot is, let alone 6 feet. So thanks to everybody for trying to socially distance. You are helping flatten the curve.
And we're thrilled to be joined in our other hosting chair by the hilarious and talented Lil Zam herself, Jamie Loftus!
I can see clearly now that Jamie's on the Daily Zeit with Jack and Miles of Gray. Gone are the need for pants as our podcast. I'm going to record. Podcast all day. That's from at Rancid Monkey. Thank you. So I put out an emergency bulletin for I ran out of AKAs and he came up with that inside of 7 minutes. If you can.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Gracious. Incredible stuff.
It's like they say, all the hit that songs just come flow right out from people's
Isn't that? It's like those really bad takes when they're like, Trump is actually going to be great for art. it's like.
Think about the great protest songs we're going to get, you guys. Have we gotten a single protest song? What the fuck?
Versace, Versace.
I'm sure like those weird Versace, Trump Versace. Sister YouTube channel things got to have something.
Kid Rock dropped one.
Yeah, yeah.
He did?
It's all protesting about protesting quarantine. Us, the mainstream.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm... Oh, I completely misheard. I'm like, yeah, I think there's got to be some on the right already who like, you know.
No, I think like boomers were all like, man, this is going to be great for art. Bob Dylan's going to drop some heat now. And he did. It just wasn't about this president. We're thrilled to be joined today in our fourth seat by the hilarious and talented Mr. Andy Beckerman.
Hello, everyone. Hey, here's a quick tip. If you want to know what 6 feet is, that's the height of Shrek.
So just picture Shrek lying face down in front of you.
How tall is everyone else in Duloc? Is that
what
right?
The fuck.
Duloc.
They're very that's small. Right. Yeah, yeah. Shrek's. So just imagine a Shrek between you and everyone else.
Wow.
I'm seeing Shrek was originally based on a 7 foot height.
Oh, what? Huh.
On Google, he comes up as 6'9".
Wow.
But
who's
then
making these decisions?
6'4". I don't know. There's someone who has like a lineup like the usual suspects and is trying to extrapolate everyone else's height based on how tall Shrek is.
Now I co-founded DreamWorks, so I think I'm the authoritative voice when it comes to Shrek's height.
Now more than ever, amid coronavirus panic, it is a fun time to watch the Shrek the Musical official Broadway recording on Netflix. It's been up there for 7 years, and I think I'm the only one that's watched it. It's so fun. Funny.
Wait, was it like a tortured, cursed musical that like didn't go on for long?
Like
is that
the
why
Lion
you watch it
King?
It's so bad?
It was a very successful musical that starred Brian D'Arcy James and Sutton Foster. It was
what?
It was a wildly successful Broadway musical, and honestly, and I'm not being like edgelord here, it's pretty good. Like,
Bunheads, Sutton Foster.
Yeah, literally Sutton Foster in 500 pounds of ogre makeup. She was Princess Fiona.
Wow.
It was.
Wow. Okay.
The whole record, the makeup is horrifying, but the songs kind of slap.
I got some mescaline and I just upped my broadband package. So that might be something to do over the weekend.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we reviewed, the Shrek musical.
That would be. Guys, it would be
fun. I think. Jamie, you should, I mean, we'll get into it. We do have to make that decision today, our rewatch is going to be.
Choices will be made.
Wait, why don't you do a podcast where you review each minute?
Yeah, Shrek the Musical, minute by minute.
Yeah, that's
so this that's hour a, is going like to be just minute one of the Shrek musical.
Yeah, but we're breaking it down painful. Each second matters. That sounds like a Guy Montgomery
a
bit.
A fleck of Shrek.
Well, they do that with Star Wars, the Star Wars minute.
Of course they do.
Yeah, Andy, I don't know if we've ever brought up the fact that you founded DreamWorks. A lot of people think
very
you just
humble.
Founded DreamWorks Animation, but yeah. DreamWorks
do you have any
founder.
I thought it was...
No, yeah, just the whole...
I mean...
Me and Spielby, that's what I call him.
Spielby.
Yeah.
What do you think about Jeff going off for Quibi? Do you have any takes on that? Because I know Jeff's a colleague of yours.
I have to plead the fifth because of our association.
Oh, Jeff seems
because
nice.
Catsy.
They actually convened a vote of the board to actually have it change. It used to say DreamWorks and it would say SKG for Spielberg, Katzenberg, Geffen, and there was B for Beckerman. And I don't know what happened, Andy, that it became it used to be SKGB and it just became SKG.
I actually asked them to do that. You know, I see. This is not about vanity for me, all right? You know, it's about art, and I think when I make paintings, I don't sign my paintings. So why would I sign my production
movies.
Company, studio, whatever DreamWorks
is? Absolutely. Famously, your first work of art, as you call it, was Ants at DreamWorks.
And I know that you were pushing for Woody Allen in the title.
Woody Allen.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Well, ants are predators, right?
Are they?
Where is this
I thought they were
going?
Scavengers. But it just started, I'd always heard that it started with, you were just a man with a vision for a movie about a 6 foot tall ogre. So like slightly below average height ogre. And that was like one of these days. They will know my vision. All right, yes. Andy.
But to me, an average height Jew, a giant.
Perspective.
All right, we're going to...
I'm just so into these egg sacks.
Oh, my God. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about today. Wisconsin is open for business. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the kind of, it seems like there's some growing consensus that going outside is maybe a good idea. So like some things that cities are doing to encourage that. We're going to talk about Kroger being not that cool. We're going to talk about restaurants using mannequins to fill their tables for some reason.
A lot of restaurant trends.
Yeah. We're going to talk about going to the movies, what that's like these days. And also we're going to talk about what we're watching / rewatching this weekend. But first, Andy, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Yeah. So most of it's just stupid, but I looked up, do you guys know who Richard Sala is?
No.
He's a cartoonist. I think he has a lot of his books are on Fantagraphics Comics.
Okay.
He's great. He's really, I found out he died yesterday. And it I kind of went down I was like reading a lot about him because I didn't know him that well. I didn't know. I just read his comics. And I read that he was, a lot of people compared him to Edward Gorey. And then that brought this into my head. Do you guys know John Belair? So this is what I searched, John Belair's. He wrote, he died in like the 90s, kids fiction, but like incredible, like this kind of like sci-fi fantasy supernatural stuff. And Edward Gorey did a lot of the illustrations.
Oh, cool.
I think they adapted.
Oh, got it.
They adapted one of his books into a movie with Jack Black. I don't know how faithful it
was. Goosebumps? No.
Shallow Hal, I think is what it's called. What, the clock in the wall? I forget. I read these when I was a kid, but they're like incredibly kind of spooky.
Oh, I read those.
Yeah,
I remember like the kid who moves into the house with his...
The Curse of the Blue Figurine.
Yes, yes. And I just like, the only thing I really want to do, there's like a handful of things that I care about like adapting in Hollywood or about... Do like besides my own projects, I want to reboot Night Court. Number one, if I ever have any power in this town, I want to reboot Night Court. I have a whole plan too. And then I would love to like write a John Belair something.
Yeah, the house with a clock in its walls was like a library book. It wasn't like something that they officially. Like assigned in elementary school, but it was one that like I feel like was on like reading lists of stuff for me.
Yeah,
at least
like the McGurk.
I remember seeing these covers reminds me of like at the time like in the library how I would select books as a kid in my school library because I'm like, yo, this cover art looks fucking old. Fuck that. Look at Pee Wee Scouts. That shit looks more like comics I would read, like or whatever the fuck. But I remember reading the Blue Figurine one. I think it was for, I don't know, it was like on some list. But yeah, that art, I definitely remember now.
Yeah, that Daniel Pinkwater, these were all, you know, if you are hitting middle-aged about right now, this is all your youth.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated? Okay. I got a question. All three of you guys are Gentiles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you ever had challah just sitting around the house?
Yes.
Yes.
Really? Oh my God.
Yes.
I put a poll up on Twitter and I was asking, I as a Jew, so I think challah is underrated. I don't like bagels have been gentrified at this point, but I didn't think people just had challah sitting around. Like, oh, like the other day I had my lunch was cantaloupe and challah because this is the quarantine. Ooh. And you know, you just make do with whatever you have.
I used to have challah French toast.
Sure. Mm. But just like
that's
like,
how you're just it would gonna, be in my house.
You're just going to slice off a slice for a snack?
Yeah, I used to work at a bakery in college, though, so the access was high, and then I just and then I just kept getting because it's so good. When I was growing up, I didn't have it, but as an adult, I've seen the light.
Yeah, growing up in L.A., had a lot of like Jewish friends, and then Her Majesty is also tribe, so you know we keep it real with the challah from time to time, but. Recently, it's come back because I've seen a lot of Kwor challah baking because a lot of people are trying to flex with the braiding, you know, and like get just picturesque challahs off. But haven't actually bought a loaf and kept in my house for a while. I just remember as a kid, it would be around too because we'd have French toast with it sometimes.
Who's doing the Kwor baking of challah? Is it Goyim or is it Jews?
No, their tribe. Their tribe.
Okay.
I think it must feel like one of those, like, you know, like it's a definitely like it's a finesse baking thing. Like when it comes out beautiful, like I get it. You want to take a photo. It's so shiny and beautiful, you know, versus a dull looking sourdough.
What gives it that sheen? Do they paint it with a little egg or what's going on there? It's beautiful.
It's gotta be, right?
Yeah.
I put
leg wash on top.
I put lacquer on mine.
Yeah. Yeah, anyways, we did not have it. I'm going to start buying it. You think just like a loaf, bring it in, cut off a piece when you're hungry and ready for a snack? Is that proper usage?
Hey, it fills you up.
Yeah.
Okay. It's true, and it lasts for a bit, too.
Yeah.
There used to be, I don't know if it's still around, in L.A., there was like that kosher deli that was making everything kosher, but turning it into like a sub shop, basically.
What?
Where like you could get a hero, like on a challah hero roll.
Whoa.
And then like rather than bacon, it would be gribness, which is basically fried up chicken skin. So when you make schmaltz, like every level to keep it kosher, like they were considering, and it was so delicious. I don't think they're open anymore, but I think it's called Fleischik's.
Fleischik's.
And it was like, yeah.
Can
amazing.
You imagine like going to like there's hey, do you want to go to Quiznos, Subway, or Fleischnick's?
Fleischnick's. Right. Until you read the menu and you're like, oh my God, this brisket
we're
sandwich I want
to
run through drywall for.
Yo, I'm going to get a gefilte fish sub at Fleischnick's.
What is what's something you think is overrated, Andy?
This takes a little bit of explaining, but the concept of genius in the 21st century, and I'm mostly...
I love this.
Tread carefully, sir. Some of us...
Our geniuses.
Well, yes. Except okay. So accepting. Let's pretend that I'm not talking about Mensa. All right. Okay. What I am talking about is someone like Elon Musk, who is what I will say is a dumb dipshit who got lucky. Mm. But like this is the
got
thing
lucky
about
to be born into a ruby mine.
Yeah, emerald.
Right.
Emerald. Yeah. I looked it up. So I
was born in a ruby.
I wanted to mind my P's and Q's because I didn't want anyone to come for me on this one. Because I know, like, if you criticize Elon Musk, a bunch of people that will never have any money and have no connection to him, like, come for you.
They come
the
for
Muskegee
you.
Airmen.
That's what his fans are called.
They are?
No, I just made
it. Oh, I love it, bro.
Fighting 99. Down in flames we go.
I'm just thinking of that movie Tuskegee Airmen with Lawrence Fishburne, his last scene at the fucking cockpit. Anyway, I'm sorry. So, but tell me about the 20. Are you talking about more of like a classical, like in the antiquities era idea of what genius was and that people had a genius versus people being a genius?
No, just the 20, like in the 20th century. Okay. Like,
oh, okay.
Think of the people that like are called genius now. It's dummies like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Jeff Bezos. These are people who like just invested
rich
money. Like they were wealthy. Like Elon Musk had had family wealth from an emerald mine. All right. He dropped out of a physics PhD program after 2 days. And all he's done is invest his money. I didn't know. I was about to say well, but I think he's just invested his money and got lucky. And then he has backdated his ego, right? And he says, well, because I'm rich, I must be a genius. And then everyone like agrees that, oh, these people, they must be geniuses because they're wealthy, as opposed to like they've exploited all their labor or they had family wealth in the first place, or they got lucky. But like, I was thinking about
that's
like
genius, Andy. That's genius, though, that they did that. You know,
20th century. Who did we call geniuses? Einstein, right? Niels Bohr,
Picasso,
Picasso, Watson, Crick, and Franklin, right? James Joyce, like people who either scientific, like changed the scientific paradigm, changed the literary or artistic paradigm in some way. Those were geniuses. And now it's like a dude who buys a Ski-Doo factory. And
I feel like that it's just all about like how effectively you manage to mythologize yourself. Because I'm sure that there are like some people that we have like historically labeled as geniuses who aren't. Like there's like, I feel like Edison is a really good example of that, where like more than a basic snuff test reveals that he was like, in many ways, a total fraud. So,
and what was he, Jamie? He's just like these shitheads.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's just like, if you're able to afford to effectively mythologize yourself, you'll probably get away with it.
Edison is the Elon Musk of the 20th century.
Yeah.
Right.
Damn.
Wow.
Damn.
I was just thinking of, just like the way we use the term genius as compared to antiquity, when like that concept of genius emerged, is that people had a genius in which it was something external that would visit them to inspire this like great work out of these people.
Right.
And over time, we began to sort of co-opt that with our egos and narcissism. Ah. And that wording became, someone was a genius. That person is a genius, rather than has a genius. And I think it's interesting just to even think about how you might create things, because people, you look at somebody, you'd be like, if you're a musician, like, oh, I love, you know, fucking Johnny Greenwood. He's a genius or whatever. Like, what does he do? But is Johnny Greenwood thinking that he's a genius, or is it more about inspiration, that you are opening yourself and allowing yourself to create things? And that's where it comes out, rather than like, I think people put this pressure on themselves to be like, if I want to be a genius, then I'm going to.
Exactly.
The way we used to even articulate this concept was that like, someone opens themselves up to some truths that they are able to then interpret by how open they are, rather than like, they fucking got it. This guy's got the fucking genius.
Why do you think I took my name off of DreamWorks?
That's facts.
The way that I've found that term used a lot is just like, it is like a narcissistic thing, but it also is like, I feel like sometimes used to remove accountability from your own behavior and actions. Like in the case of Elon Musk, and in the case of just like a lot of the Mensa people that I was talking to back in the day, it's just like a situation of like, oh, this person's behaving erratically. They're making bizarre choices. And then it's just like, oh, well, they're a genius, so you just don't get what they're doing. It's like, no, they could conceivably just be being an asshole or acting weird. And then, but if you are able to like label yourself as greater than, you're like, you couldn't possibly understand why I'm exploiting my workers. Yeah. You're just like,
let's not forget. I mean, right now we have a very stable genius.
Exactly.
Very similar situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the way that America in particular commodifies narcissism and like makes people think that they are the genius rather than they are transmitters of a genius, is there are a lot of American authors who just write one great thing and are heralded as geniuses and then like never write anything again, because there's something just like toxic and unnatural and incorrect about that. Whereas I feel like other countries are just like, I'm plying a craft, or I'm, you know, I'm channeling something higher than myself.
Does the sophomore album curse, I wonder if that's unique to American music, or if we looked at, is the curse of the sophomore album like globally embraced as like a law of creativity? You know what I mean? Because I'm, to your point, Jack, about this emphasis, you do one thing or you come out with this work early, then the expectation of like the subsequent works just becomes like exponentially higher to the point where like you have no way to compare it really. But then also there are some objective sophomore efforts where you're like, you clearly got a lot of money and stopped giving a fuck. But I wonder culturally if that's something like unique to us and our like, you know, pursuit of fame.
It's not a rule.
I think that's how you burn out.
Yeah, I do feel like it's a tendency that Americans have that doesn't really exist as much
exceptionalism,
elsewhere.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah. What is a myth, Andy? What's something people think is...
Extractionalism.
Yes. Extractionalism, as we call it. What
there's the title.
It's a mashup of Extraction and Shrek.
American extractionalism is killing our country.
Okay. Is there a myth that we need to bust at this point now that you've come up with extractionalism?
Well, you tell me. If my myth is that history is knowable. Because I've been
is knowable.
History is knowable. Okay, this is what I've been thinking about lately. Right. I was reading about hyper objects. Do you guys know what that is? Hyper objects are just this is a dumb definition, but like it's so large that you can't comprehend them. So like history is kind of a hyper object. Like what we're seeing the effects of climate change right now that started in the 70s or the 60s, right? So the climate hell we're in right now started 40 years. Like if we wanted to stop it, we're like four decades too late, right? And so what we're going to try to do now is stop whatever fucking nightmare is going to be like 40 or 50 years down the line, right? That's anything we're doing now. It's such a, like the climate itself is a hyper object. It's so large. We can't really comprehend it. And there's all these time delays, right? Because we're not seeing the effects of what we're doing right now for, you know, half of a human lifetime, at least.
It's funny because like I find those things so easy to comprehend, but maybe that's just like you.
Well, you are a classic genius.
A difficult time. Yeah, of course.
But all he has to do is close his eyes and go to that big old encyclopedia brain Tanaka of his.
But I've been thinking about like history. Like I've been reading this book called The Devil's Chessboard, which is a history of the CIA. History of like really Alan Dulles, the guy who founded the CIA. And he was a fucking straight up Nazi. Like literally, like if FDR had lived, this guy probably would have been prosecuted for treason because he helped hide a lot of Nazis after the war. He tried to broker. FDR's whole thing was, hey, I don't give a shit if you were like a low level Nazi or a top Nazi. We're going to prosecute all of you. Right. Especially the top level guys. And Alan Dulles was this kind of like old school gentleman, like his brother. And like, I think he had worked for a bank originally. Like they had all these business ties with Germany. And basically he helped protect like high level Nazis. And he had tried to broker a deal behind FDR's back that if like high level Nazis turned in Hitler, that they would be freed and there wouldn't be any repercussions for them. And only FDR's death prevented him from being prosecuted for treason, basically, for betraying the U.S. And this is the guy that founded the CIA. And then the CIA, through the 20th century, just, like, fucked up foreign countries, like, one a year or more, right? And they did it all in the background. Like, we don't find out, again, this is, like, this time delay thing, right? We don't find out about this stuff until the stuff is declassified or... If for some reason someone
MS-13 shows up in a neighborhood in a white suburban area and they're like MS-13 and then they're like, well, hold on, you got to go back to El Salvador and understand what the fuck we were doing there to destabilize to the point where these gangs split off and people are like,
like how many of us knew about the Latin American dirty wars until we became adults?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had to like actually pursue that information. Because like when I even got an inkling of what it was and I'm like, wait, so we were fighting the Cold War in this other way, like in Latin America through like debt and like militarizing opposition groups. It's like, oh, wow. Because you didn't want to have an upfront like parking armies. It's very interesting history. And I think that's to your point about like how we'll never it's hard to know history because the version you get presented in school goes through the filters of like the boards who work with the publishers, who know the authors. Are also based on whatever the cultural tone is of a state. I think it's hard because America doesn't have that thing yet where like other countries have like, will take a sort of sober look at their history to be like, you see that bad? That was fucking bad back then. That was no good. We don't like that anymore. We don't have that kind of, curriculum in the United States.
No.
We do not.
Nope.
It's just like,
in fact, we have one that sanitizes it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not even omission, just like straight up.
I was
going to
say, like, it was just like, no, it just reminds me of a thing. One of my first college history courses was about Iberian and Spanish history and about the conquistadors. And like this kid, it shows just sort of like how our teaching works. The first day of class, someone raises their hands and they're talking about, converting indigenous peoples. And some, like, you know, in the writings back, you know, obviously from the New World, it's like they're loving it. They're learning this new way of life. And then this kid would just be like, hi, how do we know, though, that the indigenous people didn't want to be converted, though, if they're still doing it now and they like it? And it's just sort of like no one was ever critical enough early on in them learning history to say these were subjugated people or colonized people who were forced at their option was death or, you know, fucking straight up do gestures across their body that said they believed their God. But yeah, it's very. That's why I almost became a history teacher.
Ooh.
There you go.
Instead, I'm a podcaster.
Same thing, right?
History teacher. All right, guys, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
And we're back. And Wisconsin is back too. They are open for business. OFB, baby. So truly the stay-at-home order was lifted by the Supreme Court, which includes all rules about social distancing and masks. And this is one of the top 10 infected states in the U.S. So,
yeah. Surprise.
It's terrifying. Like, it's my boyfriend's family all lives there. A lot of them are seniors. And it's like anyone that, you know, gives a fuck, I mean, is terrified because there's, by all accounts, there's people pouring in from adjacent states who are upset with the stay-at-home orders in, like, it sounds like there's a lot of people coming from the Illinois border who are like, oh, I can go to a bar in Wisconsin? Great, let me take my COVID to Wisconsin. And it's just, I mean, we'll see. But there's no way that it ends well. It sounds like, you know, everyone I know there feels deeply unsafe and is so, like, it's just...
It doesn't make sense, even in terms of like this Supreme Court decision. I mean, when you look at, again, we've talked about this constantly, overwhelming majority of American people aren't clamoring to go back and do things because for them, it's not like they're not saying, no, I'm fine living like this forever. Obviously, people would love to return to some semblance of normalcy, but they're not willing to do that at the cost of losing people's lives or getting ill and things like that. They're like, no, well, hold on. It's not that serious.
Well, you're also
to the point,
like,
where I'm going to risk life.
You're also sending workers, like all restaurant employees, all employees that are being forced to go back to work, you're sending them potentially to their deaths with like little, you know, with few options, because if your job is open, then why are you still asking for unemployment? And it's just like, it's so fucking...
Oh, so you quit.
Yeah, so then
That was the point. That was the point of that, right, is to force people to choose to get them off the unemployment rolls, right?
Yeah.
You have to
It seems that way. And there's no other way
to explain something so cynical as like a regulation that said, if you don't feel safe because the science, clearly the science and the biology has not caught up to how severe this is, that if you don't feel safe enough to go to work, you're surrendering your job because, you know, the fucking CEO of Kroger demands his blood money.
I've also heard of a number of examples of like the way that workers are getting to work has changed as well. Like I have my brother works at a bakery and they do. And it's great.
Fantastic.
I'll never be, but I don't think he works there anymore. And the reason is because they said, okay, we're reopening the bakery. You can have your job back, but we don't want any of our employees taking public transportation. You have to drive. And he lives in a big city with four parking spots. And also, not for no reason, he's not paid enough working the front counter at a bakery to own a car. And so it's like there's all these fucking galaxy brain solutions that I'm sure the business is also in a very difficult spot of they need to keep their business safe. But it's just like workers are left with virtually no options. And then you don't qualify for unemployment anymore. It's
Culturally, though, we're just ingrained with this terrible, terrible reflex that because we see how as a American culture and the government by extension treats people like those in need as like, that's suboptimal to be a person who's in need.
Yeah.
That like we have this like immediate thing to be like, well, that's your problem. Well, that's your problem, because that's how we're treated by the more powerful than us is, well, that's your problem. And when really I feel like you'd hope the reflexes should be like, oh my God, yeah, stay home. I know we're getting killed as a business. We need to talk to the fucking banks who is demanding this mortgage from us because I have to force you to go to work so I can pay this bank or whoever this rent or the landlord who then owes money to a bank, that the frustration is not turned upward. It's always turned downward. It's always
you should be ashamed of yourself for not being able to.
What do you guys think it's turning a corner? I'm seeing more and more rage directed in the appropriate direction.
Right.
But slowly, yes. I don't think it's slowly, which is I've been saying, like, if that's the one positive I've been able to see throughout this is like there's a little bit more class consciousness that's being brought out of people rather than like blindly having like parasocial relationships with billionaires you wish you were friends with.
And as it relates to the coronavirus, I mean, people are going to see, I think New Zealand opened back up a couple nights ago and had barbers, you know, giving people haircuts, and there were lines at the door. They opened up at like midnight, and like they actually get to open up because they did the appropriate things in a responsible amount of time, and there wasn't this.
Yeah.
Like, they were looking out for the welfare and the health of their citizens from the start.
My friend lives in Helsinki, and Finland, I was looking up the statistics. Finland is a million more people than Los Angeles itself. And
right.
They have, I think, 1/100th of the cases of coronavirus.
Yeah. It's just straight up where, you know, this is what happens when a stupid person runs something as big and complicated as the United States, and somebody who's just not capable of, who's not up to the task.
Who's not capable of mammalian thought.
Right.
Right. But also just our system of governance is just built to crush the weak and, you know, enrich the rich.
Yeah, so no, it's definitely not. We already, Trump.
We went into the fucking, you know, hockey game with fucking soccer equipment. We're like, oh, bro, we're not even built for the fucking.
With a chessboard.
We're completely.
We went into a hockey game holding a pawn.
Loving these metaphors, guys.
Yeah. How are you going to get a slap shot? Can't even get a wrist shot with that bishop piece.
Right. It's like we went into basketball, but we were wearing skates.
And like, it's like we bought tickets to Shrek and we saw Puss in Boots.
Right.
By the way, Shrek by fair. Shrek. That has to be the title of the Shrek. Minute by minute.
Shrek on Shrek.
Shrek. Shrekened by Shrekened.
Oh my God, that's pretty good. The Shrekening. I mean, this is one way of doing things, the Wisconsin way, where everybody is crowding together, despite the fact that we don't have the things in place or the, you know, falling levels of infection to support that sort of behavior. There's the New Zealand model, which involves, you know, investment of smart behavior and investment of like people staying at home and sheltering in place for a long time, and then you're able to open back up. Something that seems like it's sort of happening that, I don't know, it's kind of like a complicated situation where I don't know necessarily how to feel about it just yet, but, you know, because there are these studies like the contact tracing with coronavirus in China that said that, you know, out of thousands of cases, there's like two cases of transmission outside because it's just the air is able to spread out more. The germs are able to spread out more. Some cities are starting to adapt things so that, you know, you can have restaurants that will, you know, have outdoor seating that bleeds out into the streets. And so they'll like close down streets. Love the idea of closing down streets. Love the idea of being able to go outside. But to Jamie's point, you're just hoping that this is not a situation where we're just doing this so that we can take people off of the unemployment payrolls and like force them back to work and things aren't all that safe for them in the first place.
Yeah, it feels all connected to like reopening the economy as opposed to actually doing anything in anyone's best interest. And it's also just benefiting people who like to be at bars.
Yeah, well, I think whenever I hear any municipal leader, governor, whatever, have the word, you know, because we got to do it safe, but we got to obviously people want to reopen or whatever. I love that there's always just that like hat tip to like the ownership class always. And they're like, you know, because we know people want to reopen. I don't know a damn person who wants to reopen again. We just want to know that it's safe. Deal with that first.
Right.
Deal with that first. And the fact, and I guess again, the buck stops with the fucking citizens. Because the federal government failed to act. So now it's like, I don't know, guys. I mean, you got to get back to work. So
I mean, would you guys go to, like, if Los Angeles opened up everything tomorrow and we could have live comedy again and go to movies, I wouldn't go.
No. Yeah, definitely not.
Alamo Drafthouse sent me, I don't know why I answered their survey, but they sent me a survey.
I've been answering so many surveys that I wouldn't normally. Me too. I'm just like, yeah, why not?
And they're
also, quick note to any listeners out there, any surveys you have that ask where you heard about something, please always mark podcasts so that way ad revenue keeps flowing into the industry. Okay, back to you.
But yeah, I answered it for some reason, but they were like, when would you come back to an Alamo Drafthouse? And they listed all these things like, what if we test it? What if we like took the temperature of our employees every hour? What if we did, you know, social distancing in the theaters and all this stuff? And then the last choice was there's a vaccine. And I'm like, yes, that last one, the one where I don't die, where I'm assured that I don't die.
Health guarantee.
To go
what
see-
if Alamo yeah. Drafthouse is sitting on the vaccine and they're just waiting for the results of the survey?
They're like, I don't know. We haven't reached critical mass yet with enough yeses for that question.
The FDA approved it, but we only have a handful of responses. So I don't know. What do we do?
Right. They're just waiting for people to respond to their online email survey.
Oh, so spiteful.
They're like, well, I guess if no one wants to take a few minutes to answer our survey, no one gets a vaccine. Huh.
Anyways, yeah, works. I am in favor of the one aspect of this, which is closing streets to road traffic since nobody has anywhere to go anyways. Cincinnati.
What do you mean, like everywhere or just parts?
No, just parts. Cincinnati has closed parts of 25 streets so restaurants can expand outdoor seating, but just like the ability to walk down the street and like give each other wide berths is, you know, that's kind of how when I've gone out for a walk with my kids, you don't want to like walk directly next to somebody. So you do use the street more than you used to. But Oakland has closed almost 10% of roads to traffic. So, I mean, I think this is a thing we're probably going to need to do anyways because of climate change. So we might as well experiment with different, you know, forms of city planning.
It just seems a bit premature. Like for me, when I see that, like, okay, like, yeah, we've been able to do this to like mitigate the transmission and things, I'd feel safe if there was a treatment.
Right.
Than to be going to this level of normalcy where it's like still, because we're not talking about limits of people together. We're just saying outside better than inside.
Right.
Sure. But at that point, if you want me to be out there, like, you know, yucking it up, like without having a concern with what other people's, you know, infection status or whatever is, then I'd want to know that there's at least a treatment that I'm not left reading all these stories of like people just, you know, just whatever horrible outcome ends up happening for them or the people who end up making it through. And because they're in the ICU, the secondary recovery from being in the ICU so long is like another thing that is somewhat talked about, but we forget about like, you're not many people are like, I'm not the same. Since this, I'm just not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very.
But it's worth it, man. If me and my bros can go to Applebee's and get some whiskey soaked pork screamers.
Yeah. from the Quibi sub menu.
Yeah.
If you know folks who are in Wisconsin and like flocking to the bars, please talk to them. That's all.
But not in person.
Not also, in person. Make sure you say this is doing it. They might show up at your house. They might just show. Right. They're like, oh no, we can do this now. And then they'll just cough in your mouth, and then that's it. But like, if you do, I mean, I don't know. I've been thinking about that too. It's like, eventually there will be people in our lives who are breaking, like, who are putting other people in danger with their actions, and it's like, you know, the conversations will have to be had.
Yeah,
and then cut them out of your life. Mm-hmm. Have that conversation, and then. People need to feel some kind of repercussions for their shitty behavior.
I think a lot of those people have already been culled after the election, though.
That's what I was saying. It makes me think of the Facebook posts of like triumphant uncles eating Thanksgiving dinner alone, being like, these snowflakes have no fucking
tears streaming down their face.
I don't even miss my daughter. Man.
There's this terrifying article on the Atlantic that's about Q as a new religion. Like that this is going to outlive Trump and outlive Trumpism. And that, like, when you look at it compared to other religions, it's grown, like, faster than, like, all sorts of religions. So they're just saying, like, it could end up being, like, the next, whatever, giant
Scientology
globe-spanning cult. globe spin and cult.
Well, there was a thing where, like, I think one of the Q accounts, like, tweeted a link to a porn video and all the followers were pissed.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
But one of the things was, like, a woman who's, like, just her son is like, a journalist. And she's, like, she's a Q adherent. And it's just...
I see more graffiti of it around L.A.
Yeah. It's
like
not
people
going
throw
away.
Up stencils on the
away.
Sidewalk.
Oh, yeah. Graffiti's up, no. too. Because of all the delinquent teens, no one's paying attention to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And not even good throw ups I'm seeing. I'm seeing some real sloppy nonstops. All you graph kids in the city, please up your game. These nonstops are looking real sloppy.
Mm. Although in my neighborhood, RIP Juicy.
Oh, okay. Let them know.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some sillier shit.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And let's talk about what movies/TV shows we will be streaming over the weekend to talk about on Monday's episode.
Top some from the top 10. What are we thinking? Something, what are we?
Top
are we,
10 we... is Dead to Me, The Wrong Missy, which is the new Lauren Lapkus, David Spade show. Yeah. Outer Banks, which we've already reviewed. It's apparently great.
And I've I've completed the entire season.
Have you really?
By the way,
how'd it turn out?
I finished it by Wednesday.
Wow.
Amazing. Yo, it gets, you know, I'm gonna tell you something. The whole thing is trash, but there is, because of all the injustice in the world, there's like these two privileged white characters that I must see brought to justice. And I'm left with a fucking cliffhanger at the end of season one. So whatever.
Outer Banks is still up there. John Henry, which is like Terry Crews as a superhero who's got a hammer and cleans up the streets, I think is what it says in the trailer.
Black Thor. Trial by Media.
Yeah. Trial by Media is like a documentary. Have a Good Trip is that documentary we talked about a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody should do that one. Grey's Anatomy, Sleepless, a Jamie Foxx action movie. It's people are calling it the extraction of this week's Netflix top 10. Ozark in Hollywood.
Blackstraction?
Yeah, Blackstraction.
Okay, I'm watching that. I saw the thing because I was like, look at Jamie Foxx's hairline again. Somehow
it's moving forward.
We've reached a new phase of that. We're moving forward as a hairline.
Yes.
But I think I will. That definitely caught my eye. And so did the John Henry one, because the poster looks so weird. Isn't it like Terry Crews like a fucking sledgehammer, like,
yeah,
like on his shoulder? And he looks sweaty. He's got like a patchy beard or some shit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he's got a patchy beard. I think, and in fact, the trailer has him like shaving his head and face.
Then I'm out. yeah, need the patches. Need patches.
Need the patchy beard.
But I would do John Henry. John Henry. That's an old folk song.
I'm down for
Wait, what about the Shrek musical?
I mean, listen.
I think Jamie has to watch that.
It's there.
I think I'll watch it too.
Really? It's really fun.
How long is it?
It's 2 hours.
Look, I'll tell you something. I hate musicals, but I have nothing to do. This sounds freaky. And I think maybe my opinion, I'm already going into it with the kind of take that most people would expect. And who knows, maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised.
I love musicals. And for a very transparent cash grab musical, I think it's pretty good. And it also heightens the emotional stakes of Shrek beyond what anyone ever wanted. There's a number it's great.
You've sold me.
The song Build a Wall.
What do I search?
Rocks.
Just Shrek?
Just look up Shrek.
Shrek the musical on YouTube and it'll pop up?
No, it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix?
It's been on Netflix for like seven years. No one else wants it.
Okay.
No one's looking for the rights.
Well, then I'm getting my pipes warmed up.
Whew.
All right.
My weed pipes.
Miles is watching Shrek the musical. Jamie, are you interested in Have a Good Trip?
Which one is that?
That's the
Everyone's Drug Stories.
Everyone's drug stories
animated.
Sure.
Or a wild card. Pick anything.
I can do have a Good Trip. I just feel like since we talked about it, we might as well get in there. There's also Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is streaming on Netflix, and so is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, in case anybody's interested in either of those.
Grab a top 10. Do a top 10 thing.
I'll do the David Spade Lauren Lapkus movie.
Okay.
That's a movie? Oh, it's not a show?
Yeah, it's a whole
movie.
No,
it's a movie. Wow. It's a whole damn movie.
It's a whole ass movie with ass movie. Are they love interests?
Yes.
Yes, except Lauren Lapkus is wacky.
Right.
Love it.
Yeah. David Spade meets his dream girl, Molly Sims, and then he's like,
former SI swimsuit model, Molly Sims?
You bet.
Oh, wow.
And then
me back to 98.
He invites Missy. He has Missy in his cell phone, and he invites her to a Hawaii vacation, but it's the wrong Missy. And so Lauren Lapkus shows up instead. And David Spade's like, "Oh, brother, I'm such a catch."
He's
and
like, "I'm look so at this screwed." Loser.
What's the age difference between Lauren and David Spade?
It's large. It's not small.
It's not small.
Well, let's see. David Spade is 55.
Wow.
Oh, no.
And I think Lauren Lapkus is my age, so maybe like 35 or 36. Lauren is
30. Just a 20
She'll be 35
year.
This year.
So just a 20
just
year 20 age
years.
Difference. Okay, but Lauren Lapkus is the gross one in the movie. I love Lauren Lapkus so much, but
yeah,
but
she's
Lauren is so So funny. She's both a nice person and an extremely funny person.
It's not. Yes. There's nothing she can't do. I'm looking forward to seeing what they make her do in this movie.
Yes.
Do you think there's a scene? I haven't seen the trailer, but based on what you're saying, I'd imagine there's a moment where David Spade is drinking like out of a big pineapple, like a tropical drink. And then he's waiting to meet Molly Sims at the restaurant. And then Lauren Lapkus shows up and just full on tropical drink spit take. Like,
I have like a strong sense anytime David, I don't have like a strong attachment to David Spade. I didn't like really grow up with him, but like when I first moved to LA, I was at the comedy. No, where was I?
Were you at
the, I was at the Improv,
the Brown Derby.
I was at the Improv like early on, and someone like came over to me and said in this very conspiratorial, like reverent way, "Hey, if you want to sneak into the main room, Spade's on. You could learn a few things." And I'm just like, I just hear Spade's on echoing in my brain forever and ever in the most reverent tone. You're just like, "All right, Spade's on. Spade's
on."
When I first
moved to Hollywood, I was at Musso and Frank's. And I saw Spade, Sandman, and Schneider sitting over another table sharing steaks.
He's talented, but Spade's on really killed me. Spade's on.
Just 10 minutes before, Pauly Shore got kicked out for drinking too much. I mean, man.
Right, yeah, right after, right before Dane Cook was like banned from the Improv for life or whatever. There was some, or maybe it was the Laugh Factory. Who cares?
All right,
comedy's
remember
over.
Remember that comedy clubs?
Comedy Miles, clubs. There's your everyone's
Miles, you pick.
Everywhere.
You pick for me. Sleepless or Willy Wonka?
Sleepless.
Well, people already know about Willy. I mean, unless you've never seen. Nah. I'm more interested in Sleepless because I think we should forge ahead with whatever. Like, I think we're taking a sample of what's trending on Netflix, and we're
okay.
just like,
okay,
yeah,
all right.
Even though I'm taking the outsider pick, just because I think the possibility of a Shrek musical.
Okay, we'll do one outsider pick and then two Netflix trending per week.
So we've got them all there.
Got it.
I am Shrek the Musical. Jack is Sleepless. And Jamie is...
The other Missy.
What's that Lauren Lapkus thing called? The other Missy.
The wrong Missy.
The wrong Missy.
She's not just the other Missy. She's wrong.
She's,
oh my God. You guys, that is so wrong.
That's so messed up.
Are you on crack?
She shouldn't exist. Wow. That's how wrong she is.
You sound like a 16-year-old white girl.
I know.
Are you on crack?
So let's talk really quickly about something that restaurateurs are doing to... I don't fully understand why. So they realize that when they reopen, they're not going to be able to have people in all the seats. So they're going to have designated seats where people can't sit. And rather than just removing the chairs or removing the entire table, some restaurateurs, including a 3-Michelin-star restaurant in Virginia, are populating the restaurant with mannequins in old-timey clothes, in the case of the Virginia restaurant. And the... The servers will be filling the mannequins' wine glasses and having cheerful, one-sided conversations with them.
This has to be...
This owner is fucked.
This has to be just, like, an attempt to get press, right? Like, they're...
But
right?
It's... Right? Yeah, it seems like
it's
something...
It's the only Michelin-starred restaurant in Virginia. I don't know how much more press they need,
or it's Quarbrain. Everyone's Quarbrains are fucking like, all their synapses are fucking just, like,
I think
going nuts.
Right.
In Quar.
There's a baby at the table. Offer them milk for their baby.
Suckle the baby mannequin at your breast, waiter.
Like Rosa Sharon.
As JM writes, presumably the staff will also prevent customers from leaving the room because they insist they're also mannequins who have to stay there forever because this is clearly part of a R.L. Stein story.
That's so funny.
But yeah, there's like a French restaurant that created like balloon people. I once saw, like, one of the creepiest things I ever saw was a special effects shot from Friday Night Lights where the crowd is full of mannequins so they could just like keep shooting and not have to like, you know, treat the extras like humans. But like somebody took a photograph of it and it's just this entire stadium full of dummies just sitting there. Anyway,
how's that different from sports anyway?
Hey!
Oh! We were talking about that with like weddings a while back too, though. We're like choir weddings. We're putting like homemade cardboard cutouts that they're like, and this is my mommy, and this is my daddy, and this is my college roommate, and
yeah.
Like, so that's, it's all, you know, mommy. People need shit to do.
This broke yes, everyone. So there's, this thing, there's this, this, the last two this months thing just shattered everyone's brains.
So Belarus has a soccer league where they are like desperate enough for money that they just never closed. Everybody else is like, you know, we're going to close. But this Belarus soccer league's like, nope. And but people just stopped going for the most part. So the league started selling tickets for virtual fans, which meant that you would buy a ticket online and they'd stick your photo on top of a dummy. And it really looks like something you'd find in a serial killer's attic. It's strange.
Yikes. There's just really a something. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to put myself in the place of a restaurant where, you know, there's maybe like 10 other people in it when normally there'd maybe be like 80. And I don't know if I think maybe just like play some music or something.
Right.
That's enough for me. Right. I don't need to be like, oh, isn't it weird how there's like no one in here? I think maybe like the awkward sound of only like five plates being eaten off of might be weird, but I don't need fucking freaky mannequins.
I think the most basic thing you can do if you're reopening your business is like, just don't do anything to make the situation more haunting than it already is. Like, it's already an uncomfortable situation. You don't have to add 500 haunted mannequins into the mix just to see it. They're like, okay, so we know that this is really scary, but what if it got like silly scary? Like, it doesn't got like an Arnold
Chucky
time,
dolls at all of the tables.
Yeah.
To prevent any germ transfer, the receptionist will be greeting you with a dummy, like a ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, and she's also wearing
a
pinhead
mask.
Speak
directly to the ventriloquist dummy. Yeah, yeah.
You're like, okay, so we know we are forcing our servers to go back to work, but we're also making them put a paper mache head next to their head, like they're a two-headed person, and you have to talk to both of the heads when you order. Right. Do you
every
feel
restaurant
safe?
Is going to be that Times Square restaurant where people dressed up like monsters.
Okay, that
yeah,
restaurant.
What is that
rocked.
Restaurant called?
Or the diner in Back to the Future where it's like all just robots with video screen faces.
One of the last.
It's like, hey, can you
Max
get Max
Headroom
to bring more pep? Yeah,
Matt
more
Frewer.
Pepsi, please.
What's Matt Frewer doing right now? Get him to reboot Max Headroom.
Jekyll and Hyde is the name of that Manhattan restaurant.
I went there like two weeks before Quar.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was one of my last, and it is stinky, 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 sticky, sticky, sticky. All of the animatronics are broken, and my Groupon didn't work. 0 out of 10.
Sticky and stinky. Wait, stinks like what? Like, just like they don't clean up, or like everything smells like BO?
Well, it's, I don't even know what the smell is. It smells like rotting something. It's not like, and all the servers were super nice and also didn't want to be there. But I wanted to go and see, like, I like animatronics. I'm like, oh, let's see. But they're mostly broken. It smells weird. And it's so dark in the restaurant that you're like, putting the lights on in here would be it. A automatic health code shutdown. Sticky. But that's the beauty of the novelty restaurant is it's full of COVID-19.
By the way, of everything we've talked about today, I think the saddest statement so far has been my Groupon didn't work.
Fuck. Gutting.
It
absolutely
was devastating. Would have been a great deal had it worked.
What was the deal exactly? Like what was the Groupon?
It was an absurd amount of food. It was like you got like a drink, you got like a 3-course meal for like $30. It would have been amazing. But then they were like, oh, we don't fuck with this Groupon. And I'm like, okay, I guess we'll have French fries and a Miller Lite and be on our way. And that's what we did.
All right, that's $43.
It was still so expensive. Yeah, whatever.
Andy, it's been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, experience you?
At Andy Beckerman on all social media. At Andy Schreckerman on... No. couples therapy podcast that I do with my dear love Naomi weekly on Tuesdays. We do a Twitch show at 2 p.m. at 2 p.m. PST every week. Sometimes we have guests such as the aforementioned Lauren Lapkus.
So good.
Also, I've been doing another podcast called Beginnings for like 10 years now, where I talk to artists I admire about their childhoods. This week is Michael R. Jackson, recent Pulitzer Prize winner, and
wow,
the composer of Strange Loop, the off-Broadway musical.
Mm. Oh my God.
I've talked to Stephen Merritt from Magnetic Fields, Damon Lindelof, a ton of people. They're pretty good conversations, so check that out. I think beginningspod.com.
Nice.
Awesome. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media, while we're on the subject of just timeless brilliance, is there some dumb tweet that made you laugh?
Yes. I got two of them here. Io Adebiri, if I were a multimillionaire, I would simply log off.
Yeah, that's
Tegan Byrne.
And Luke Moniz, both of these are stand-ups. But he wrote, have we considered that years like 2020 and 2016 are not bad, but rather that existence itself is an unending nightmare?
Worth considering. Think. Just putting it out there, you know? Jamie, where can people find you and follow you? And what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. I'm going to recommend another YouTube thing today. This was a YouTube series and a YouTube channel that was just brought to my attention the other day called Brat. Anyone ever watch Brat? Okay. Brat is, it's a channel that is directed at, I think I'm just going to try to write a whole story on this, but like it's a channel directed at teens where they get TikTok teens and Musical.ly teens to star in narrative series that have zero production value and make no sense. Where I'm going to direct you to begin on the Brat TV channel is a show called Chicken Girls, a show where there are no chickens, but there are girls.
Oh my God.
It is the most bananas thing. I was laughing my ass off watching these poor 14-year-olds try to enact a show called Chicken Girls for like 3 hours last night. You gotta watch Chicken
Girls. It's on season 6.
It has so many seasons. There's so many examples of like just the production. It's no, I don't know who to blame, but I enjoy it. There's so many examples of like something that was clearly supposed to happen in post, but then just didn't, where it's like there's kids on computers and you can tell, oh, there's the screen is supposed to be on, but whoever was in post just didn't add in a screen that's on. So it's kids being like, ha ha ha, I can't believe she said this. And it's just an empty.
Are you sure it's not like a Tim and Eric thing?
It's definitely not. No, it's very late capitalism YouTube channels, like digital startup by like some guy in his like late 30s, early 40s, who is like, kids love TikTok. So if we make a YouTube channel with TikTok kids, it doesn't matter what they're fucking saying. And he's kind of right. I'm only like halfway. I'm you know, in the end of the first season. But you gotta watch. We gotta start talking about Chicken Girls.
Your journey's just begun.
There's so much content on this channel. It's overwhelming.
Miles, where can people find you, follow you, and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray. Also, my other show, 420 Day Fiance, talking about 90 Day Fiance, super high. Now, some tweets. First, I just want to tell people that there was a story about how Prince Harry has no friends in Los Angeles and feels isolated. If any listener can help get me in contact with Prince Harry so I can be his friend while he lives in Los Angeles, please let me know. I have the exact same birthday as him. We like the same soccer team. I have a feeling he has never probably smoked a blunt like I can roll. I'm also a person of color like his wife. I just feel like I can keep going. Also, from the valley, look, the tale writes itself. One tweet I like is from Shea Serrano, who like sort of apparently today or Thursday, apparently Thursday was the anniversary of the seminal rap duo Clips, dropping the track Grindin'. And Shay quote tweeted this video of like the music video and said, "This anniversary has got to be like Pearl Harbor for cafeteria tables." Because everybody was banging that shit out on the table.
You can find me on Twitter, Jack_O'Brien. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Charlie tweeted, "Nobody in TV show has friends unless the whole thing is they have friends." And that's just true. And then Kakashi's BM tweeted, "Him, doggy style, me,
okay, Raggy."
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what is that going to be today?
This track, unfortunately, not available on the typical sites because it's a bit of a cheeky remix, so it won't be on your Spotify's or Apple Music's. A bit of a cheeky remix, if I would, and I will. This one is for all my fans out there of Slum Village. There was a track that they had with Kanye West called Selfish, and with also with John Legend. But this is the Junior State remix of Slum Village's Selfish, and it's a great rework. That's what I love of like finding on SoundCloud. There are all these like bedroom producers like just doing really great flips and remixes to classical songs.
All right. Well, we are going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
And I'll be trying to come around my girl acting like Mr. Friendly. It's still the spotlight like Mr. Bentley. I spotted her like Spud McKenzie. And for them fake boobies, I paid them Benjis. Get your own. I got Paris, he got Nicki, he try to get him a clone. He said, yeah, you know you got extra hoes. And everything you do is extra cold. From the polo fleece to the Jesus piece. I got family in high places like Jesus, niece. Can I please say my peace? Y'all fresh to death, then I'm deceased. And this one here.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.